Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Lance, maybe Cowboys fans should be glad that they didn't make it. Did you see the average cost of a ticket for the Super Bowl this year?
I did not.
Take a guess.
Man, I'm going to say $3,500.
Higher.
Oh, if it's average, that goes with the higher ones, too. So, $4,800.
Higher.
Bro, what? $5,200.
Higher.
$6,000.
$5,911. The cheapest seat is $44.89.
Oh, my God.
How about this? $5,911. And here's the deal is, I don't know that the secondary market guys are pissed that the Bills didn't make it because those people would have flooded Arizona. I'm not sure that Kansas City isn't kind of tired of winning every. I'm telling you, Kansas City is the best comparison to the Houston Astros.
Yeah, but they're how much do you need, though, John?
They're like, in the AFC Championship every year. They've won a Super Bowl. Now, if they win another one, they're going to be...
I thought that, too. Five straight AFC Championship games.
Yeah. And I've said that before. And I mean, you said the Golden State Warriors, and I said, no, they don't have enough... the Astros don't have enough championships for that. They're the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, and they don't have enough titles to be us. They're
Need one more, just like the Astros got theirs. If
they're
they get
hoping
it this
to be
year,
us.
Yeah.
So 49ers would travel, and the Eagles fans will travel. So I don't think it's like...
Yeah, Eagles fans.
Bengals fans will travel. I really believe. I don't think they're going to have any problem selling tickets. That's going to be a high ticket. We know the Cowboys aren't going to be there, and one of the reasons is because their quarterback keeps turning the ball over. Let's see what Cowboy fans think about their quarterback. Let's get Don in here. What's up, Don?
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is the thing about Dak that I think. I know you mentioned Trent Dilfer. Like, the Cowboys aren't asking much from Dak. Just don't turn the ball over.
Yep.
And I think we've reached the ceiling with him. And I'm a Cowboys fan. At this point, I'd rather take Daniel Jones than Dak Prescott because he's too inconsistent and he's losing the game for us. All he has to do is not turn it over, and he's steady showing us that he's turning the ball over in crucial situations.
I mean, when you are – boy, that feels damning when you say I'd rather have Daniel Jones than Dak. But, I mean, I'd rather have Dak than Daniel Jones personally. But, yeah, turning the ball over, you can't do it. Dak is a game manager, and that's okay. But if you're going to be a game manager, then manage the freaking game. Don't give the ball up.
Yep.
Game managers aren't supposed to turn the ball over. You're not being asked to carry the team. So, I mean, when you need to, you got to step up. But you got to take care of the football. You have to. Let's get David in here. What's up, David?
Yeah, I'm tired of the Cowboy bashing, number one, and leave him alone. I think Dak is the right man at the right time for us. His ability and know-how, and I'm sorry I'm emotional, but his ability and know-how to continue to help us with playoff losses isn't easy. He's taken on the challenge pretty well, except for that one game last week and one other previous playoff game he won. The torch has been passed down from QB to QB for us, and we want no one else leading us to these playoff losses other than Rain, Dakota, Prescott. Leave him alone.
That is not
a Cowboy
fan. You're not a Cowboy fan.
You are not. That is not a Cowboys fan. You're not a Cowboys fan. Just stop it. Leading us to these playoff losses, that's not a Cowboys fan. We asked to hear from real Cowboys fans. Terrence is a real Cowboys fan with a real Dak Prescott opinion. Let's find out what he says. What's up, Terrence?
All right. Good morning, fellas.
How we doing?
Okay. I'm a truck driver. I'm kind of driving right now, but I'm trying to get this in. I don't put this on Dak. I'm not a Dak fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. My issue with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott goes back to Jerry Jones. When you hire a guy to be your quarterback coach that you beat out for a position, and then you promote him to be your offensive coordinator, he's not qualified for that job. So Dak is not getting better because he's not getting better coaching. That's the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. You hired Kellen Moore because you like Kellen Moore. He's not qualified for the job. He's learning on the job. Therefore, Dak being our quarterback is not being guided and not being taught how to play consistent football as a quarterback of an NFL team. And that's my opinion on the whole situation.
I think that's kind of a cop-out, though, because you still have to make the right decision. Like, Dak has now been in the league since 2016. I don't know. That's kind of – I don't know. Mike McCarthy is an offensive guy, too. Like, if you want to say it's not Dak, it's Kellen Moore that's throwing these interceptions. That's a hard sell for me.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
I just know Cooper Rush didn't throw him, and he had the same head coach.
Okay.
I mean, he had the same offense coordinator.
Would Joe Burrow have won that game yesterday if he was the Cowboys quarterback?
100%.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Would
they can make more plays. Now, actually, I don't know if Josh Allen would have won that game. Josh Allen turns the ball over, and that was an issue yesterday.
Yeah, but Josh Allen makes...
Yeah, it's easy to say Josh Allen would have, but Josh Allen turns the ball over.
Look at the plays Josh Allen makes with his legs.
He makes plays with his legs, and that's the big advantage he has, yes. But the 49ers have a lot of team speed, too. So I can't tell you definitively that he would not have turned it over.
I think Josh Allen
points away either. But Josh is a better quarterback than Dak. Yeah. I'm just saying, you played the 49ers, dude. That's a tough game. So would Dallas Cowboys and Dak and Josh Allen under center, would they have won? I give him a better chance because he makes plays, but he's also a turnover guy. I mean, that bothers me. But Joe Burrow would have definitely won. He would have just been
precision. I'm not off the Josh Allen train just because he's
not either. Yeah, I like him, but that was – I'm talking about a very specific game. I can't have problems with Dak Prescott turn a ball over and then say, oh, yeah, I'm fine with Josh Allen. That guy's a turnover guy.
Yeah, he's a turnover guy, but he also is a big play guy.
He makes more plays.
He makes up for his mistakes way more than Josh.
And that's what Lamar does that I like about Lamar Jackson is if you're going to be someone who's not particularly accurate, or if you're going to be somebody who turns the ball over, you better make explosive plays. Yeah. You better make explosive plays. And both those guys would, for example. But would Mahomes have won on a broken ankle?
Yes.
Yes. Mahomes would have, on a broken ankle, would have willed them to a win.
Yep. All right, who's
what
next?
What about Davis Mills? If Davis Mills had all that, if he had CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalton Schultz, could Davis Mills, I think Davis Mills could have led them to a win. I think he could have managed that game and pulled it off.
Maybe we can make a trade.
What about Tua? Could Tua have led them to a win? Kirk Cousins. John, you're not playing the game. I intentionally did Davis Mills so that we could keep saying everybody could do it instead of Dak.
I think I would rather have Davis Mills than Dak. Well, but this is kind of true. Would you rather have the James Harden Rockets or this version of the Rockets?
But James Harden Rockets.
No, listen. We don't have to be. It doesn't have to be the Texans or the Rockets. Just because you don't have a quarterback doesn't mean you have to be the dregs of the league.
That's the perfect comparison. Texans versus Cowboys is like this Rockets versus James Rockets. It's actually a great comparison.
I know. Yeah.
And no, I'd much rather have the James.
No, I'd rather have the James Harden or the Cowboys than this version. But again, just because you don't have a quarterback doesn't mean you have to be the Texans. Okay?
Right.
There's a lot of teams that don't have a quarterback. the Jets were exciting this week with Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco. Okay,
let me think. Let's see if I can think of a team. Would you rather have?
Look at the Jets. They didn't have a quarterback.
Okay, would you rather have Malik Willis right now?
No.
Or Dak Prescott?
No.
Well, you don't know who Malik is yet.
No. Yes, I do. I've seen it.
No, you don't know who he is yet.
It's gross.
It was bad this year, but you don't know.
He threw one pass.
Okay. All right. Would you rather have Kenny Pickett or
Kenny Pickett right now?
Than Dak Prescott.
Yes.
You'd rather have Kenny Pickett unencumbered by salary demands, obviously, than Dak tied into $40 million plus.
That's exactly right. No, yeah, I mean, at least I've got hope that Kenny Pickett can be a guy.
Yes, I could buy that. I still think, I mean, right now, give me Dak over Kenny Pickett.
Well, Dak
right
is
now,
a better quarterback right now. There's
no
question.
Yeah, that's,
but
that's
I
not
don't
really fair.
Want,
yeah, you're right.
I don't want that purgatory that James Harden and Dak Prescott put you in. Okay? All right, we'll get to the other calls. We got more guys on the line. But first, let's talk a little insurance here.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All Cowboy radio.
Oh, but at least it's with a Cowboy loss.
Well, we do air their games, right? Don't we still do that?
I think we do, yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Pretty sure we do.
Did you see the Dallas Cowboys social media account? I can't believe they tweeted this. I had to double check. Yep, 4.3 million followers. Gabriel sent this to us. Dallas's Twitter account said this, and it's an article on DallasCowboys.com. It said, Dak Prescott gave the ball away twice in the narrow loss to the 49ers. In a matchup, the Cowboys had a chance to win if they didn't, again, generate self-inflicted wounds.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't see that honesty from hometown accounts. That's never the case. They always, you know, they're always Pollyanna. That's a very, Dak says, unacceptable 100% on me. And there's an article they wrote, so you're supposed to click it and read the article. But, man, that wording, while it's incredibly accurate, I mean, it's just not even incredibly accurate. It's just garden variety accuracy. You don't see that from hometown accounts, especially about their quarterback.
No. Never.
The Texans team that you had to work for a few years, John, would that have ever happened there?
Yeah. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. You would never see that, ever. I've never seen anything like that. That's, wow. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want, Dr. Dre is here. What up, Dre? Your team sucks,
hey,
by the way.
Hey, Double Rocks, fellas. What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What do you say, Dre?
Hey, same old. Hey, John. Hey, Lamar wanted some of that white meat to use your references, number one.
What do you mean he wanted some? What white meat did he want?
Wendy.
Lamar and Odom.
Lamar Odom, yeah.
Oh, Lamar Odom. Yeah. I thought he was talking about Jackson. I was like, what? What did you hear?
to that last caller, yeah, you're a little bit off base. Dak cannot even get past his first read. He has the word progressions means nothing to that man. This guy, he looks at his first read, and I'm still going to throw it. Look at that first interception inside their own 25-yard line. He still, the cornerback broke on the route, and he's looking at him, and he still threw the ball to him. I mean, come on. And then even on the second interception, the linebacker broke free, broke in front of the Lamb. Dak's looking at him, and he still throws the ball. You can't expect to win games when you're scoring 12 points in a playoff game. Hell, I'm proud of Dak for scoring more than 10 points like Josh Allen did. That's an accomplishment, I guess you can say.
Yeah, Josh's offense didn't get it done
at home.
Damar Hamlin there of all things, too. But you know how I know 12 points can't get a win? I follow the Texans. That's how I know for sure 12 points can't get wins.
Yeah.
Because I follow the Texans.
And listen, the Bills... The Bills might not be made for cold weather. They're the Bills. What a home field advantage. Maybe not. Maybe they'd much rather be in a dome where they could play on a fast track with Stephon Diggs, and maybe some guys off the edge could get to the quarterback. I mean, just because you're Buffalo doesn't mean, oh, we got a huge – maybe that's not an advantage. Maybe Cincinnati was much better equipped to play in that weather. They ran the ball. There's the difference, too. The Bills have got to get somebody other than Josh Allen who can run the football. Look at what Mixon did. I mean, it was huge, the difference in the running game. And especially on that snow, when you're picking up 7, 8, 9 yards a carry, I mean, that was the difference in the game.
Yeah.
And Joe.
Man, I got to say, man, there's something so unbelievably mesmerizing about Joe Burrow. It doesn't fit, you know. He looks like he's trying too hard when you see him in the turtleneck. Like, it looks like he's
Joe,
it's
cool.
A con. They call him Joe Shiesty. Is that the best nickname ever? Joe Shiesty is a nickname. There's been talk of calling him Joe Brr and then Joe Cool. But Joe Shiesty, that's the first time I saw it this weekend. Joe Shiesty is the best nickname ever. And he doesn't look like he fits into the super cool quarterback mode. Like,
no,
it looks a little off. He looks like he's trying too hard, but he's also at the same time, like, he's that guy also.
It's like
one of the craziest things where but that's why he is super cool. That Joe Burrow does the Gat dance after he wins championships with a cigar in his mouth, and you would say, look how corny that is, except it's Joe Burrow, and he and this guy, like, threw 60 touchdowns in a year and came out of nowhere, and he'll steal your girl with that. You might even actually look better than Joe Burrow, and she still wants Joe Burrow.
He's pasty. What? He looks like Macaulay Culkin grown up.
You know what he looks like?
Macaulay Culkin should look.
Go look at young Tom Brady, and that's what Joe Burrow is like, young Tom Brady. Tom Brady wasn't this level of, you know, Tom Brady became a more refined-looking dude, you know?
Yeah.
Early Tom Brady, that wasn't this Tom
Brady
with
supermodels.
Yeah, but
Joe's more athletic than he ever was.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm saying.
No, I know, but
Joe,
Brady's
and by
body
the way,
and everything, yeah.
Yeah, but well, I bet you Joe's not all ripped up.
No, he's not all ripped up, but he's an unbelievable athlete. He's just really, he's a great athlete. He was Mr. Basketball in Ohio. He can go. Tom Brady, could dunk at 6'4", 5", whatever he is. Joe can go. But he doesn't look it. No, he doesn't look like. I mean, even Josh Allen is a handsome guy. Mahomes is a handsome guy. You know, all of these guys are. And Joe just is pasty. You never seen a guy as pasty as he is to be as athletic as he is. Reminds me of Macaulay Culkin.
Joe's not that athletic.
Oh,
he's not Drew Locke. Drew Locke
real.
Is all-state basketball player athletic, like dunk on you 360 athletic.
Joe Burrow was Mr. Basketball.
Joe Burrow was a good basketball player, but when you watch him, like, does that come to mind when you're watching him play football?
Yes, him stepping up in the pocket and run. Listen, at
that's
LSU.
That's not athleticism to slide in the pocket.
No, not slide in the pocket. At LSU, he ran a bunch
He's
more
not
than
running
he does
that
now.
Much anymore.
No, but
he had his ACL
to.
Torn up.
He's athletic, Lance. Trust me. You're Mr. Basketball in Ohio. You're athletic.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's not like that's not what I think of when I think of Joe Burrow, this dual threat guy like Josh Allen or something. I don't even actually think of it that much with honestly. I don't even think of it that much with Pat Mahomes that much anymore. I mean, he'll go get you yards the same way Joe will. But of all the guys that are still left, I put him the same as Purdy.
What now?
Purdy will run. No, from just an athleticism standpoint. Purdy's not a bad athlete.
He ain't Joe.
Joe's
or,
beating
or
you from. Joe's beating you from the pocket.
And okay, whatever.
Yeah, I don't. The argument about Joe Burrow's athleticism to me, it misses the point. Who cares about that? Joe is like, Joe's a killer. That's the point.
Yeah.
With his brain. Like, he's just. And with his confidence. He doesn't fear anything. By the way, people forget before the game got canceled, Joe Burrow went right down the field and put one on the Bills right away. You were about to catch an ass whooping in that game, Bills. Trust me. I don't think you really want it with
Cincinnati.
That was
the ass whooping you got yesterday.
Yeah, that was just a delayed ass whooping is what you got. And it was just in a different park.
Let's get Ryan in here. Hey, Ryan.
What's going on, fellas? So I got a bunch of crying cowboy coworkers I was telling him, I was like, well, why don't you blame? And he was like, speaking up for Dak, like it wasn't Dak's fault. He's blaming it on the line. I was like, dude, like Dak's gonna Dak, man. He's gonna turn the ball over. It's just what he does. And he just kept on crying. That's it.
Dak is gonna Dak. Is people who say that all the time are so annoying, and they always end up being right. Texans are gonna Texans. Shut up. That sounds so stupid.
They're right.
They just did that.
Astros are gonna Astro. They're right. You're right.
Yankees are going to Yankee. That's true.
You be you, Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Let's get Daniel in here before we hit the break. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I've been a Cowboys fan ever since their last championship in 1995 when I was six. But, no, Dak is not the guy. Two throws really stand out to me yesterday. Other than the interceptions, the problem was on in fourth quarter when he nearly got picked off a third time for a pick six.
But
he did not. He watched him the entire route. His eyes were on him, and he had three defenders. The other one is a difficult throw, but one that you see a lot of people making. So a great receiver like CD Lamb, if he would have put the ball two more yards ahead of him, was that route. Straight down the middle of the field, CeeDee Lamb got behind the safety, behind the defender, and he had to come back to the ball, which he still nearly made an amazing catch. But he had to come back to the ball. If he would have put it two yards ahead of him, it should have been a touchdown. He's indecisive. He doesn't go through his progressions, and I think he's way too overconfident in his arm ability. That's all I've got.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. Hit the nail on the head. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to bash the Cowboys or whatever.
Hey, when we come back, I do want to tell you one thing that I found that was a concern when going through the tape study of Bryce Young.
Oh, okay.
And people who watched it saw the same thing I did. I'm not making this up. They all saw the same throws. There was something I wasn't expecting to find that ended up being a little bit, it's not a killer, but it's just a little bit of a concern that I did not know was there for Bryce Young. So we'll talk about it when I come back.
Hey, DraftKings Sportsbook at Lake Charles, at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. We are going to be there February 6th and 7th. We want you to make plans. It's Monday and Tuesday. It's right before the Super Bowl. You can get your Super Bowl bets in then. You're going to have all the prop bets that you could want to have, all of the different bets. It's a great, great, great sports book. It is unbelievable with over 3,200 square feet of LED screens. You can play blackjack in the sports book, which you can't do in a lot of sports books. Okay, they're doing that. Bar top, video poker, slots. They've got everything in there. Full service restaurant. The food is good, too. We had the wings, pizza, hot dog, nachos, whatever it is that you're looking for. It's really, really good. And then the property is second to none. I love it. It's like you're going to Las Vegas, honestly. The casino is beautiful. All of the restaurants that you have, 18-hole championship golf course, 1,100 rooms, 12 restaurants, the Blue Martini nightclub, 2-acre pool. They've got all kinds of shows coming up. Marlon Wayans, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Tracy Lawrence, Casey Donahue, Three Dog Night, Sammy Kershaw. Look, if you're looking for a great, it's just 2 hours down the road. You don't have to fly all the way to Las Vegas. Book it right now for the big game that's coming up the weekend of February 11th, February 12th. It is the place to be. It's the Golden Nugget GNLC. It's there. Listen, you are going to love it. Go to goldennugget.com/Lake Charles.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, John, D. Scott sent us the apology for... They start off the show with Shannon Sharpe apologize for his behavior. It was really good. I suggest you watch it. It shows you the difference between one guy who could have just said, look, I said something with poor timing. It was not intended to do this. It was, you know, I did not mean for it to be in bad taste. That was Skip Bayless and his tweet about, you know, about the game continuing and stuff like that or whatever with DeMar Hamlin. He could have just had something really easy, and he chose not to do it. Shannon Sharp gave a real apology, a heartfelt apology. It was really good. He's just being accountable. I mean, it's so nice to see somebody accountable when they do something they shouldn't have done. And Shannon was a grown ass man, and I definitely respect it. And I, if you get a chance to see it, take a look at that. Now to the Bryce Young thing. So I had not studied Bryce Young closely at all. I intentionally did not, even when I was watching Cameron Lotu, the tight end for Alabama, when I was watching the offensive lineman and pass protection. I'm not paying attention to what Bryce Young is doing. I wanted to wait and save that until I had all the tape and I could really just focus on him. And I went through that process. It ended up being a 2.5-hour live session with a good chunk of it being tape session. And I showed people the process. I showed them a little bit of the tool that I used to get to the cut-ups of the different games. We looked at intermediate throws. We looked at deep throws. We looked at interceptions. We looked at touchdowns. We looked at sacks. There was a lot of different things. And I had the microphone on, and I was saying what I was looking at when things were going down. And I've got a link for it. If you guys want the link to it, I'll have Brandon put it on. It's on the YouTube page. Actually, if you go to Sports Map Houston on YouTube and you hit the live video section, you'll be able to watch the whole thing if you want. The one thing that showed up that I was very surprised by was Bryce Young had a hard time throwing the deep ball. He did not push it far enough for guys had to stop and wait on balls. They had to try to come back to the ball. I was very surprised that Bryce Young had some of the issues with deep balls that he had, because he does throw for the most part on time on the deep ball. And I think that was one thing I wasn't expecting to see, was him with deep ball issues. And that was something that popped up way more times. He throws a flat deep ball, so it's a much smaller margin for error. When you have guys who can drop it in the bucket, meaning they throw it with a little more elevation, it's easier from an angle standpoint. Just think of, you know, the basketball game at the, you know, the basketball game at the fair. The higher the elevation, the more elevation you get, the angle into the hoop becomes wider for you. If you shoot it flat, like Rodney McRae or whoever, you know, you have a guy with a flat jumper, you take a smaller area of the basket that is available to the basketball. So it's the same thing with his deep ball. So that was one thing that was a concern. I thought he threw with anticipation. He maneuvers around the pocket, John, so well. He's very smart. He doesn't just void the pocket and take off. He's looking to beat you with his arm. He feels pressure. He's never concerned. He knows he's going to hit, and he still delivers the football. He keeps his eyes on his target. Like, that's one of the things that was so admirable to me. It is a concern because of his size, but he is not just going to bail out and freak out because he sees pressure. He keeps his poise, and he delivers the football where he wants to go, and he doesn't let impending pressure get him down. And I was just really impressed with that. Overall, I think I'm going to give him a 68 grade, which is a good grade. It's a very good grade, but it's not a 7 grade. A 7 grade is going to be, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber grade, Pro Bowl to a potential All-Pro grade. I'm not going to give him that. But I think, going to end up giving him a 6-8 grade. My highest rated guy is going to be Jalen Carter. I don't think anyone's going to go higher than him, because I think he's Jeffrey Simmons all over again. And he was actually more impressive when I watched him on tape than I was expecting. So, I mean, that guy's talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he just destroys his block destruction is just crazy. It's just really, really good.
Well, what about Will Anderson? Where's he?
I gave him a 67. Will will be like, I think Will's going to be third. I think Will will be third behind Bryce Young. Let me check. Maybe Will will be ahead of him, actually, Bryce Young. I gotta see where my – I haven't officially given Bryce my grade yet. I haven't written him up. And even in 2.5 hours, I didn't finish getting through everything I needed to. It's just I didn't want to keep going and make people watch it. No, I gave Will a 702. So Will is – and Bijan Robinson a 689. So actually, Bryce is probably going to be my fourth highest rated player, which is not unusual for quarterbacks for me. I think I had Joe Burrow as my third rated player. I did have number one. Trevor Lawrence is number one in that class. But yeah, it's going to be Jalen Carter, Will Anderson. I think Bijan Robinson, even though I fully recognize Bijan Robinson does not carry the same value as Bryce Young, I'm just grading him as a running back. So you know, just because I have a 6'8", 9", I think he's going to turn out to be a really, really, really good player. But obviously, you value quarterbacks more. So on your personal boards, you can have a higher grade, but you still have to stack. You know, if I were going to stack a board, well, I got to stack the quarterback much higher.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right, is there anything that we missed from this weekend? Oh, well, did you see Brooke Henderson? She went wire to wire at the LPGA Tour event this week. Did you see that? Oh. John Rahm wins again, and that's big news that we haven't gotten to today. Anything else?
Yeah, I feel like we are missing out on something.
What did we miss today?
I feel like we're missing out on something that happened. There were some UFC fights. Glover Teixeira, but you know he's retired. But that's not it.
This weekend, Billy Doran and Bill Brown were named to the Astros Hall of Fame. Congratulations!
Do you know Bill Brown frequently responds on Twitter to RJ's ESPN questions?
He does.
Yeah, Bill Brown, the former Astros. Yeah, whenever you put the ESPN 97.5 account, you'll ask a question. A lot of times, it's going to be about something Astros related. Brownie will like, no, it's not Brownie. It's Greg Lucas. It's Greg Lucas responds.
Yeah. Why do you think they're like the same guy?
No, but Greg, the old HSE, because I used to watch Greg Lucas all the time too. So it's Greg. It's not Bill Brown. I think it's Greg Lucas. Well, I still really like Greg Lucas too. Yeah, it's cool to me that somebody I watched do sports stuff growing up is like commenting on things that are on our show. I love it.
Yeah, but it just seems like it's kind of racist. You just older white Astros announcers. You just think you lump them all together.
I just lumped them all together.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, that's not racist. It's Spanish, Milo.
Oh,
why do you make me have a Spanish accent, John?
Oh, no mames.
Hey, do you know anything about this Hilaria Baldwin thing? Do you know what that story is about? I just recently found out, because I don't care about stuff like this anymore that much. Do you know who this is, Hilaria Baldwin?
No.
Okay, RJ, see if you can go find her giving an interview or something. Hilaria Baldwin. Hilaria Baldwin is, this almost gets to News of the Weird. This is why it's a pretty good segue. So Hilaria Baldwin, she is Alec Baldwin's wife, and she's a former like Pilates instructor, and you know he did pretty good on his reset, you know, from the eyeball test and everything. And Hilaria Baldwin, well, here's the backstory. Apparently, now there's going to be an addendum here, but let's take it to the beginning. She apparently was born in Spain. And so, you know, she has, as you would imagine, John, a Spanish accent because she's born in Spain, right? So wouldn't mm-hmm. you imagine somebody born in Spain is going to have a Spanish accent?
Correct.
Yeah. And she was born in somewhere, Malaga or whatever. She was born in Spain. And then she married Alec Baldwin. And then she does these videos and she's on TikTok or whatever. And always shows herself being pregnant and her videos and her workouts. And she was pretty popular and famous. And then some people from Cambridge, Massachusetts said, hey, wait a minute. She's not Hilaria. Her name's not Hilaria. Her name is Hillary. And she's from Cambridge, Massachusetts. And she's a basic ass white girl. And her mom and dad are not, they're not from Spain. And they do not have Spanish names. And then she came out and tried to clarify that she lived in Spain most of her, for a big chunk of her life, and identifies Spanish. Turns out her family would just go visit there. So she, you know, she identifies with the Spanish culture and heritage, even though it's not right. Really. It's kind of like you identify with things, John. Kind of like when you say you're in the Asian community, or they're a black community. It's kind of like that. Only you're not using the accents when you talk. Have you found a good one with her accent? She's from.
She's actually
from Boston, Massachusetts. She's from Boston, Massachusetts, is where she's from, John.
I don't usually do the accents. Okay, no. Unless I'm playing male golfer, female golfer.
Yeah.
Food.
And that game, hasn't been around for a while. RJ, just give me the heads up when I can play this. So people have started noticing, like, hey, her accent's going away. Like, certain times she'll bring out – and the other day when Alec Baldwin is not getting in trouble or he's not going to get charges for the gun going off in the movie, she came and was trying to defend him. There's a lot of problems with a lot of you who believe that Alec is – and like, hey, we already know you don't have to do this. You should be saying this. I know we got a lot of problems. There's a lot of you who believe Alec somehow should be responsible. You know, that's your accent. That's your accent. Your accent, how do you like them apples? Okay? That's what you do. You don't get to go right here to España and give us the Castilian. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that, Hillary. But now that she's – and now she's still trying to play the Spanish accent card, even though she's not from Spain and everyone already knows it. Do we ever have it, or do we just need to go to a break, RJ? He wasn't able to really get it. Just trust me. You might want to search for it, John. It's pretty funny because in other videos, it's like, hey, your accent's gone. Hey, little baby, what are you doing? No, you can't say, hey, little baby, and then what are you doing?
Mija, ¿qué pasa with you?
¿Qué pasa?
What happened to you?
I can't believe that you had taken your first steps. And hey, can you pass? Give me, Alec, bring me the the bottle for how you say cucumber. She did that. She was on a cooking show one time. She goes, and then we have you want to make tomatoes and how you say this? Cucumber. How do you? You're from Boston. You know how to say cucumber. Stop.
All right, let's break it. Let's talk a little tequila, and then we got more news of the weird coming your way.
Man, my chest problem has come up. My issue with my upper respiratory has come back, and I'm starting to think I may need some Maestro Bell to see if I can clear this up. I mean, it couldn't hurt. Honestly, it couldn't hurt to have Maestro Bell. A lot of times it clears a lot of things up. It's because it is created. It is crafted to be the very best tequila that you are going to find here. We're making it. It's a top shelf tequila, and you've got 11 generations of tequila makers who've been putting it down for you with great tequila from Tequila Mexico, and that's Maestro Dobel. And whether you're a Reposado fan, an Añejo, and if you've never had Añejo, highly recommend it. What a smooth sipping tequila. But their silver is fantastic for margaritas. Their smoke silver is great for a cocktail with a little smoky finish to it. And these are all available through Maestro Dobel. So no matter what your flavor profile is that you love, whether you're a sipper or whether you're somebody who likes it in a margarita or a cocktail, Maestro Dobel is here for you. Make sure that you taste the difference with Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, it's Maestro Dobel.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Are you kidding?
The hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our final segment here on the show, but brought to you by Simple Seats, better prices, no fees. It is that simple. Lance, there's a Texas bill out there that says this: food made of aborted fetuses need clear labeling. Would you like to know when you are eating food made of aborted fetuses?
I like all my ingredients and everything.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily an ingredient checker, right? Yeah, I'm not necessarily an ingredient checker. You know, I probably should be. I know there's things you need to avoid or whatever. But yeah, I mean, certain things. Yeah, I like to know what's in my food. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I like to know. Yeah, especially if there's an aborted fetus in there. That's just me though. I like to know if I'm having that. You know, with my Oreo cookies. Aborted fetus with that. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I didn't order that.
Right. No. I'm going to get... Can I get the salmon with no aborted fetus, please?
On the side.
Well, but put it way on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, way.
I feel like we went way too far with that one. I should have just said no and went to the next story.
As prices soar, border officials are seeing a spike in egg smuggling from Mexico.
Dude, that's a real thing.
Mexican eggs now?
That's a real thing. The egg stuff, how expensive eggs are. Yeah. I guess I don't do any of the grocery shopping anymore. I used to. But, oh, yeah, eggs is like a really big thing now.
Well, and not only that, but there is a suspect was caught with a suitcase full of meat, arrested for the 70th time, okay? but he was stealing it. But there was a smuggling incident of onions, apparently bringing them into the Philippines with 60 pounds of onions, the cabin crew, and they were arrested for it, smuggling onions into a country.
Listen, if you can make money smuggling, I don't care what you're smuggling, you're going to smuggle.
Yeah.
Smugglers are going to smuggle. This is the one thing I've noticed, is that smugglers tend to smuggle.
Yeah, that's what they don't care what it is.
Haters hate, winners win, smugglers smuggle.
But you would think it's like smuggling onions would be like, oh, they're just smuggling onions.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
it's not like they're trying to kill people with coke.
But if you're smuggling something, that means you're doing it illegally, John. If it were legal, you'd just be a truck driver.
I understand that, but are you going to do time for smuggling onions?
Now, you should have thought about that before you smuggled some onions.
Or meth into your country. Now I see it.
Where was this country again?
Philippines.
So they don't, like, are they just anti-onions? Or they're the onion lobby really huge here?
I don't know.
It could be the onion lobby is really tied into the government.
Shortage, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. A couple, did you ever refuse to pay a tip? Have you ever gotten service that's so bad that you didn't tip?
No, I know. I just, because they'll go, oh, that's that radio guy. He doesn't tip well. No, you were terrible.
No, you were awful. Well, this couple, this table of six people waited for over an hour for their food at the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. When the bill count came, it was $73. They refused to pay the tip because they said they had to get up and get their own silverware. They had to get their own refills on Cokes.
Ooh, that's not
they
great.
Said it was so bad that they just wouldn't leave the tip. So you know what happened?
What?
Well, the waiter called the cops, and they were arrested for not leaving a tip.
No, this isn't a true story.
It's a
You're
true story.
You're ballsacking somebody.
No. It's a true story. It's actually on television stations in Philadelphia. It absolutely is a true story.
They were arrested for not tipping? They had to have been arrested for putting their hands on them or something like that.
No, the 18% was part of the bill. You know, some places, they automatically charge you 18%.
Oh,
but they refuse
to
pay
automatic gratuity on two people? You don't usually have
that. No, on six people.
Yeah, I know, and there's only two there.
No, I said there were six people at
the
table.
Their bill was $73 for six people?
Yeah.
What did they order?
Each of them had chicken fingers. I don't know what they ordered, but they waited an hour for it.
If it's $73 with a gratuity in there for six people,
no,
then
the gratuity was on top of the
$73. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. But even still, what did you get? You each ordered something for $12. That's it.
I don't know. No, I've never heard of anyone being arrested for not paying the gratuity.
Lance, let me ask you this question. Would you like to have a grenade as a key holder for your keys?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
I
don't want it to be alive one, but you didn't specify.
Well, apparently this one was, and it exploded, and it's a gardener who had this grenade as a key holder, and he lost four fingers. Do you think you should have a live grenade as your key holder?
Should you have a live M80 as a key holder?
Should
the same
a
thing?
What?
A live no, M80 right. Firework yeah. as a key holder? No.
Right.
You could have it in your car. It gets really, really hot. Bang.
Microsoft is catching it. Apparently, they hosted a private Sting concert for their execs in Davos the night before announcing mass layoffs. Do you think they've got any self-awareness at Microsoft?
No. I think Microsoft is just, I don't understand. Well, yeah, this is what we do every year at this time. Yeah, but it's kind of a bad look.
Yeah.
Did they take the people who were getting laid off?
I didn't know. It was the execs that had this.
Oh, yeah, that feels like it's not reading the room.
No, it really does.
Guys, we're going to have to have layoffs. See, we're just going to have to cut some things back. We're going to have to tighten our belts. And we'll go over this when we get back from the south of Spain.
Exactly. All right, we're done. And we are glad that you joined us this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you had a good time. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, Lance, why don't you tell people about the Daspit Law Firm?
John Daspit is the Daspit Law Firm. Well, I wish I could say that. He's got 70 lawyers, and he's actually hiring others. So if you're interested, give him a shout. Because he plans on continuing to expand. He's in 10 different cities here in the state of Texas. He is going to be outside of the state of Texas. And he is from right here in the Houston area. Went to high school here, went to college at Texas, and got his law degree at University of Houston. John Daspit fights for your rights. He pursues justice for people who have been injured through no fault of their own. And he is going to help you with those hospital bills, your lost income from missing time at work, your physical therapy bills. There's a lot of things that happen when you get hurt. I've been hurt myself, but it's been my own fault. But if it had been someone else's fault, I'd want John Daspit on my side working for me so that I didn't have to accrue all those bills and miss all that time. And I had someone who could help me for pain and suffering. And that's what John Daspit is going to help you do. And that's what the Daspit Law Firm does. They passionately pursue justice for people who have been injured. And they will do the same thing for you or someone you know. 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or go to the website at DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Stocks opening higher. The Dow Industrials up 24. The Nasdaq's up 87. The S&P 500 ahead 15. The CDC is talking to airlines about the possibility.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.